want to tune into Witness Radio, go to Play Store on your phone, type Witness Radio. You will see the application, download it, and start listening to Witness Radio. You can also visit our website on www.witnessradio.org. Click live on your PC's right hand, then click the button in the middle. Then listen to Witness Radio and learn all issues about land and environmental protection.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us as the sun rises. You're listening to The Dawn, right here on Witness Radio.
Hello, Africa. Hello, Uganda. Good morning, and we thank you for listening to Witness Radio, connecting local and indigenous communities across the globe. You are listening to The Dawn, a program that airs every weekday from 5 to 6 a.m. East African Standard Time. However, you can listen to us online at www.witnessradio.org or by simply visiting the Google Play Store and downloading the Witness Radio app. For any interactions or comments, please reach out to us on our WhatsApp, which is +256 745 965 765, or by directly calling us on +256 414 697 221. Let us get a song called By the River from South Soul, and when we come back, we shall be looking at a panel discussion held by civil society organizations and smallholder farmers about the East African Community Seed and Plant Varieties Bill 2025. My name is Eunice. Good morning.
Hadithi, hadithi, hadithi njo. Oh, oh. Story gani inaona kwa TV, udemsi na mjua. Alikuwa jirani yangu Roisambu, futifoni kiwa kampo. Kuna vita kati ya watu wawili, tuna mupenzi wake. Sana ona amelazwa ICU, apigania maisha yake. Na wakili wa vida meingilia, wamezua ngori kali sana. Pia naona paybill number 0877. Na vile sina kitu siku ya leo, mita mchangia tutamu. Ni mwanaume gani huyo? Ni mnyama si binadamu? So here we are by the river. Are we gonna watch her drown, or are we gonna save her? I'm standing next to you, yeah. By the river. Are we gonna watch her drown, or are we gonna save her?
And the mama say, don't shame this family with divorce. You just got married the other day, and it wasn't by force. Her friends tell her to walk away. When she turn around, they talk and say, didn't she look so happy yesterday? Her profile picture is his face. Oh no, 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 wait. Minta changa tu kwa nyimbo. Leo ni ena kesho ni mimi duniani mubiringo. So here we go again.
By the river.
Are we gonna watch her drown, or are we gonna save her? I'm standing next to you
by the river.
Are we gonna watch her drown, or are we gonna save her? Oh, here we go again
by the river.
Are we gonna watch her drown, or are we gonna save her? I'm standing next to you
by the river.
Are we gonna watch her drown, or are we gonna save her?
By the river. By the river.
Breaking the silence and elevating community voices. Witness Radio, your number one choice.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
You're listening to The Dawn at Witness Radio.
Welcome back from that short commercial break. You are still listening to Witness Radio, connecting local and indigenous communities across the globe. And The Dawn is a program where we delve into the latest pressing issues that shape our communities and livelihoods. In today's program, we have a crucial topic at hand. The Seeds and Plant Varieties Bill 2025. That was introduced or gazetted in February by the East African Community Gazette. The bill's objective is to provide for the coordination of evaluation, release, and registration of plant varieties among partner states, to provide for standard processes for seed certification and the protection of plant varieties within the community, and to provide for related matters. This bill is a follow-up to the 2018 version that was introduced with the support of USAID to harmonize seed legislation. However, according to preliminary findings by civil society organizations and smallholder farmers, reveal that if passed in its current form, it poses a significant risk to farmers' rights, seed sovereignty, and the rich agrobiodiversity of the region. This biodiversity, comprising a diverse array of crops and plant species, forms the foundation of food security and climate resilience in the East Africa. The bill is potentially predicted to lead to a loss of these diverse plant varieties, threatening the region's food security and agricultural sustainability. It is for this reason that civil society organizations and smallholder farmers from within and outside the East African region engaged in an online panel discussion to critically review, discuss, and provide recommendations on the draft of the East African Community Seed and Plant Varieties Bill 2025. According to Dr. Kabanda David, the executive director at the Center for Food and Adequate Living Rights, the draft lacks clarity regarding the protection of farmers' rights within. While it establishes a framework for breeders' rights, it doesn't adequately address the rights of farmers to save, exchange, and sell seeds. He added that the bill does not provide accountability, discriminates against smallholder farmers, lacks the empowering aspects, among others. Let us get to hear from Dr. Kabanda David.
We've been working with the East African Legislative Assembly for some time. We have trained them. They have come to Uganda. They have visited our agroecology learning centers to, again, go a long way to convince them that when we talk about agroecology, we are not talking about substance agriculture, because many of them were saying like, no, agroecology is taking people back to subsistence agriculture. So we have farmers, women, agroecology entrepreneurs who are doing this thing, and we took them to those farms, and we also had several meetings, including in our office. Then from that, they had a resolution and eventually motion in the East African Parliament, and they agreed that we need to have agroecology. Now, when you look at this bill, there are too many questions that anyone can ask. But it is already against the known human rights based principles, because if you agree to integrate agroecology principles in regional policies and legislation, then this particular bill does not bring out that, and I'll also demonstrate why. This particular bill does not look at developing regional legislation to promote sustainable agricultural practices, as it is in their motion, and also looking at having women at the center of the discussions. and also making sure that seed is promoted as a life-giving phenomenon compared to what we have right now. Next slide, please. I'm going to be looking at the contradictions. First, I want to speak about the seed definition. I think we need to come back to this definition, and maybe we give a proper definition and or description of what seed is. Because when you look at the bill, it is like one-sided. They only look at maybe the commercial aspects or the commercial breeders without bringing in. And in fact, when you read it, for example, in the memorandum, you clearly see that they are only interested in the private sector, or except where they bring in a few issues of connecting it to national seed authorities. And for us, that is a danger, because one of the cardinal elements of the human rights-based approach is rule of law, that let us have predictability, let us have a certainty of our legal frameworks. So if a framework or if a law is not giving me the clear definitions, the clear prediction that I should see, then that does not qualify under the rule of law cardinal principle. And when you look at the memorandum, and why am I insisting, you clearly see that they are coming from an orientation that is not pro-people and is not pro-East Africa. They bring in only the rights and protection of plant breeders in law. So, and then you ask yourself, why do you call it plant varieties? Because if we are talking about plant seed and plant varieties, it is not only a space that is occupied by commercial plant breeders. Our mothers, our grandparents have been breeders since time immemorial. And we need to be extremely concerned, because this is signed off by the chairperson of the Council of Ministers. And thank you so much, my comrade Peter, for having brought out the different organs of the state, and this being the second highest organ, and with the legal mandate under the treaty to introduce bills of this nature, then you know that it is almost getting out of our hands. So the time to arrest this is now. Now, you clearly see that the motive behind this law, if you look at even the sections, using a human rights-based approach, you are talking about issues of accountability, and you don't see this bill bringing out accountability at all. Yes, they talk about the national authorities, but all those provisions, all that is silent. The only thing they do, you only have like these 14 provisions, and even the 14 provisions, 1 and 2, in the introduction, and 14 is just talking about the regulation. So you are left with only 11 provisions, which are very scanty, and they are not giving you the full 360 dimension of what we call or understand to be seed and plant variety. So I think there is a failure on when it comes to human rights elements of empowerment. You don't see anywhere where the provision is talking about empowerment. You don't see anywhere where the bill is talking about transparency. You don't see anywhere the bill talking about participation. So how is this going to be done? Okay, so at the end of the day, the East Africans are going to be cheated. And maybe the very clear question we need to ask these legislators, who are you legislating for? Because the law, the East African Community Treaty, or the treaty establishing the East African Community, is meant for the East Africans and how we relate with other maybe regions or other people. But the East Africans, if you look at the objectives, the preamble section, brings out the objectives of this law. So if you are legislating and you are leaving out us, who are you legislating for? Then when you go ahead in this bill, they are talking about meaning. Maybe you can go to another slide. Sorry, I started explaining without reminding you. Okay. When you look at the meaning of a breeder, you clearly see that the mind, motive, and what these guys are working for is not an East African. And before you know it, they are maybe legislating for some big companies elsewhere who are not actually East Africans. And that is going to be against human rights. So we think that we need to make sure that we bring the breeder, including the smallholder farmers. What about contamination? All these provisions are not brought up because they only talk about maybe the rights and what. But what if someone comes up with a breed that eventually contaminates what we are planting right now? So all this is not brought up, and it is very silent. And what if that person is getting the, is working on existing maybe varieties? And what happens? Who compensates who? So you realize that there is also some kind of maybe inhuman treatment. And when you look at all this, the human rights based approach is not actually followed in this. But I think whoever is moving this bill is legally not honest, and we need to call them to what they are supposed to do, because they are mentioning that the bill is done under Article 106. But you realize that Article 106, go to the next slide, please. Article 106 is a subset, or it is under Chapter 18. Chapter 18 talks about agriculture and food security. In fact, if you read the introduction, they would have anchored the bill, if they meant it to be comprehensive, under Chapter 18, which specifically talks about agri and food security. Again, because it is at East African level, everything is that is done at that level must be within the framework of the treaty. When you read the treaty, for example, Article 6 is talking about good governance, and they cannot run away from other articles that this bill is affecting. For example, you clearly see that under Article 103, the East African law or the treaty is talking about science and technology, and specifically mentions that the community shall promote the indigenous science and technology. But when you look at what we have in this current bill, that is completely silent. And if we are talking about plant varieties, I think this is science, this is technology. So if we do not see indigenous provisions that are making a mention or a framework provisions about the indigenous science and technology, it will be infringing on the cardinal principle of a human rights-based approach, being rule of law, being accountability, being transparency. And I also wanted to quickly mention Article 105, and this is very important. Under Article 105, the treaty is talking about rational agriculture production. How are we going to, in East Africa, promote rational agriculture production if you do not have the smallholder farmers on board when it comes to the vital, indispensable component of food production being seed? So you want to legislate for others, and then you are leaving the indispensable, you know, part of the entire system out. And again, it talks about sustainable agriculture. So how can we promote sustainability, rational agriculture production without having the smallholder farmers and, you know, farmers' seed rights on board? That should ought to have been the first thing that the movers of the bill should have looked at. Then Article 108, which was never considered, talks about or provides for plant diseases and control. You can now not think about plant without seed, because if this seed has maybe disease and what, because the seed also has disease, and also Article 110, which talks about food security. We all know that some of the food we eat as seed. So without having this into the bill, then it creates a very shallow, ineffective bill that is only going to be looking at benefiting the commercial people without looking at all East Africa, including me. And lastly, I want to speak about Chapter 22, specifically Article 121, which talks about the socio-economic aspects of women. So you cannot talk about seed or the seed and plant varieties and in East Africa, and you do not have any framework provisions on women and who are the majority, you know, seed savers, seed. Who are you legislating for? And the East African Treaty requires you to do so. So when you look at this bill and then you relate it with the international laws and also the framework of the human rights, the human rights-based approach, participation, accountability, non-discrimination, you cannot legislate for others like commercial plant variety breeders. Then what about us who are only breeding for our family farming? We are also breeders. I think this particular draft bill actually discriminates against the smallholder farmers, the seed savers, the indigenous knowledge, technology practitioners. So it is not transparent, it is not empowering, yet it does not promote our dignity as East Africans. It is actually not in tandem with rule of law, because it does not even speak to very beautiful articles of the UNDROP, yet many East African countries are part of the UNDROP, and then the international International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights. Allow me to stop here, because actually when you look at this particular bill, it really needs we need to work as civil society if governments are not willing to make sure that we put a stop at this. If they want to come up with the seed and plant varieties law in East Africa, it must be a comprehensive law, not discriminatory. It must also be in tandem with the African Charter on Human and People's Rights. Thank you so much.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Farmers, do you want to learn essential agricultural practices and benefit from your land? Look no further. Tune in to Witness Radio for expert knowledge and guidance.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us as the sun rises. You're listening to The Dawn, right here on Witness Radio.
Among other speakers is Famara Daidehu, who works as the program's officer at the Alliance for Food Sovereignty in Africa. He says there was no consultation at the country level before making the drafts of the bill.
I would like to recall a bit maybe where this bill is coming from also, or to what it is linked, so that we can look at the perspective. I want to go far. If you remember in 2021, exactly in July 2021, we've been invited as a continent for a consultation or a validation of the harmonized guideline for seed trade in Africa, which was developed by AUC. They've commissioned a consultant and they came to validate it. And ACBO, African Center for Biodiversity, helped a lot to understand what is in that proposed harmonized guideline for seed trade. Among the reasons why they said it was needed to harmonize, it was said that what is happening at REX level, regional economic communities level, in terms of seed trade harmonization and so on, were very successful. Yet, if we go back to our regional economic communities, it was not what was said as a result. In West Africa, we are sure it were the harmonization, even if it was approved, but in terms of functionality, seed trade, and so on, it was not working enough. When we were in 2024 in Niamey, in Niger, during the third Pan-African Seed Governance Conference, we had someone who came from EAC. I forgot his name, representing the East African Community Regional Seed Bank or something like that. In his presentation, one of the strongest words that came out was that the seed companies are successful if and only if they have subsidy. So they are subsidy dependent. Also, the same African Union having produced a harmonized guideline for seed trade in the region that was mainly driven or led by UPOV, just what Dr. David and Peter just said, the same AU came in 2023 and commissioned a scoping study on FMSS to understand why this is becoming more and more popular, or maybe why is it it's resilient throughout the years or the decades or the centuries. And the conclusion of the researcher, who indeed coming from the industrial seed sector, said that FMSS are dominant and it needs clearly a specific policy, completely independent, completely different from what we are discussing here. This is a strong statement. Stop there. If we look now at the work we are doing as we are promoting farmer managed seed system, indigenous seeds, call it whatever, traditional seeds, and so on. Because of the work we are collectively doing, I think the Kampala Declaration or even the Nairobi Declaration after the soil or fertilizer and soil health summit, something like that, organized by Agra itself. Part of the declaration talked about to triple the quantity of fertilizer, including biofertilizer. If my memories are good, they say even to triple the production and use of biofertilizer. So even if the world agroecology said, but there is a either it's they are accepting, or because of our collective push, they see that there is a need, there is a must to provide room for agroecology. But it did not stop there. If we go into the Kampala Declaration itself, I think it's under Objective 2. There is also clear instruction to develop the seed sector, including farmer-managed seed systems. Not stop there with the Kampala Declaration. King, in one side, the Kampala Declaration that talk about FMSS and also the scoping study on FMSS, their AUC itself started to develop a policy framework for FMSS. Is going in a different direction to what was produced in 2021, meaning to develop a harmonized guideline for seed trade in Africa, which is based on UPOF seed or this bill for East Africa. Still, the opposite side is not leaving the battle. They are still pushing. Currently, we have the, presented by Dr. Peter, if my memories are good, the African Continental Free Trade Area. It's IPR protocol on seeds or genetic resources. If you look at this protocol, we've done a study on it to understand how it speaks to FMSS. It's purely UPOV driven. But there is a window or an opportunity to change it through the act that was supposed to be developed. See how this issue of IPR over seeds or this protocol under the ACFTA, which is talking about seeds, how it should take into this traditional knowledge, indigenous knowledge, and so on. There is also a battle because the ACFTA is seen by the majority of us as the tool or the program or I don't know whatever that is going to save Africa. But there was this, if I can call it, this trap, if you are not vigilant. So, went through trying to look where this annex is, because this annex was supposed to have some country consultation to develop that annex, so that whoever is interested or seed stakeholders could give their input. In May, when we met in Entebbe, a meeting on PVP or plant variety protection, or let me call it on seed governance also, we realized from the headquarter, I think it's the headquarter of the ACFTA, someone coming from Ghana, that there was no consultation. None of the participants said that there is a consultation at country level, and they had already developed a draft annex. So the participants tried to work together, give their input, even if that draft annex gave some room for FMSS, it was far to be enough. What does it mean? It means for us that at country level, under the Ministry of Trade, it's not under the Ministry of Agriculture, it's under the Ministry of Trade, there is something that is hidden for civil society to input. What we submitted at the ACFTA Secretariat, we did not see it at country level. Myself, in Senegal, I tried to look at it, where it was, did they receive something from the Secretariat of the ACFTA? Nothing. Until during the recent, how do you call it again, the African Food Systems Forum, knew our research and find out that last July, there was a national consultation on this ACFTA IPR protocol on seeds. We have their report, and still, there is a strong component on FMSS indigenous knowledge, but still the room is bigger for UPOV. For me, if we look at all these developments since 2021, 2024, 2023, the AFCA, and so on, there is a strong push, which is obvious, strong push from Agra. No one can deny it. But at the same level, what we are doing individually, collectively, in different spaces to promote FMSS and agroecology broadly is having an impact. What should we do next? For me, we should never give up. In the case of this EAC bill, inputting inside, I'm not seeing the value of inputting inside, because from the preliminary, as I said previously to our people from Seed Savers Network, from the preliminary, the preamble itself doesn't speak at all about FMSS. Either we deconstruct completely the preliminary and it will be completely a new document, or we say, don't want it at all, as it was done by in the consultation of 2021, saying this is not a correct process, this paper is not good at all, and we continue to disturb them. On the other side, each of us at country level, we try to push for this IPR protocol, the annex, where we have the opportunity to input. As I said, in Senegal, it's just in July. And when I asked to the people that were organizing this, they say the consultation is not yet closed. It's still ongoing and could go until the end of the year. So if you look at then the two, this bill is pushed from the 2021 Harmonized Seed Trade Guideline. Under the AFTA IPR protocol, there is a room that is pushed by the FMSS promoter. Under the Kampala Declaration, there is a room for FMSS. So we can easily see that there are two parallel ideas or two parallel concepts or two parallel systems that are working together, because our decision maker, our authorities are more or less aware of the need to go for something that makes us sovereign. If we keep quiet, they will continue by using the one that have money. If we keep pushing, we will have our room, and then the fight will continue. That's how I see the things, and I will stop it there. And thank you for your listening.
I'm sure you've heard the news, but have you heard the voices behind the headlines? It's time to meet the people shaping our world. Every weekday morning, from Uganda and beyond, we bring you news that matters, insights you won't find anywhere else, and inspiring stories of everyday heroes driving sustainable change. Whether it's communities fighting for justice, innovators building a brighter future, or unsung champions making a real difference, The Dawn at Witness Radio is your daily destination for hope, action, and truth. Tune in Monday to Friday from 5 to 6 a.m. East African time and get ready to own the day with your daily dose of community spotlights and analysis that goes deeper. Don't just listen to the news, be part of it. Tune in now and join a movement for positive change. The Dawn at Witness Radio, your morning just got a whole lot brighter.
You're listening to The Dawn at Witness Radio.
Welcome back from that short commercial break. You are still listening to The Dawn, only here at Witness Radio, connecting local and indigenous communities. Let's break down some of the critical aspects of this legislation. First of all, we need to consider the status of existing laws on plant breeders' rights in the East African community. Each member state has its own laws and priorities, and while this bill attempts to introduce a unified approach, it risks overshadowing the unique needs and practices of individual countries, particularly those of smallholder farmers. One of the main concerns is that the bill enforces strict testing procedures for seed varieties. It primarily recognizes the distinct uniform, and stable criteria for seed release, which may not accommodate indigenous or farmer-managed seed systems that are crucial for biodiversity and local food security. For instance, in Tanzania, the Quality Declared Seed System, QDS, allows for the production of seed that doesn't necessarily undergo these rigorous testing procedures. The new bill, however, seems to overlook such established systems, potentially marginalizing local farmers and their traditional practices.
But before looking into that bill in detail, we could start off by just saying a few things about the EAC, so that then we can appreciate the context in which this bill is being proposed. So the EAC is a regional economic bloc. And as a regional economic bloc, the obvious objective of these countries becoming together as a regional economic bloc is all around trade issues. We have 8 countries, and these countries have a very big ambition, and you could go to the next slide, to have a political federation. But to get to that point, they have to go through quite a number of steps. These countries have formed a customs union, such that goods coming into the regional economic bloc have to are subjected to one common external tariff. And they are now working towards a monetary union to ultimately end up with a political federation. Now, the EAC operates through various organs and institutions, the big one being the summit, which is composed of the presidents from each of the 8 countries. And then we have the Council of Ministers. These are the ministers that are in charge of matters relating to the EAC from each state. But then we also have sectoral committees. And sectoral committees are committees, ministries, on particular issues. So you'll have a sectoral committee on agriculture, for example, a sectoral committee on finance, etc. And then we also have our institutions such as the East African Court of Justice, EALA, and other independent institutions such as the East African Development Bank, just to name a few. Why it is necessary to present how these organs operate is because each of them, one way or the other, do have a role when it comes to actualizing a law from the EAC, such as the one that is proposed. And moving on to the next slide, where as we zero towards this bill, you can see there that with quite a huge population, the economies of the EAC largely depend on agriculture. And for some of these countries, the agricultural sector actually accounts to close to half of their GDP. And in terms of employment, it is quite a huge chunk of the population in the EAC that derive their income and livelihood from agriculture, so to speak. And that is against the background that most of these farming communities or farmers are smallholder in nature, practicing mixed farming as between crops and livestock. And notwithstanding that the agricultural sector does account for huge percentages of this country's GDP and provide quite a high number of incomes, the region generally remains food insecure. There has been quite a number of efforts, as we'll see in the next slide, to address this food insecurity problem. And next slide, please. And these efforts to address food insecurity have been through various policies at the regional level, at the EAC level, and also laws at the EAC level. We do know that each country on its own, remaining a sovereign, do have their own efforts and activities in dealing with food insecurity. But here, we are just looking at what has been happening at the EAC level itself. So you can see there's been quite a number of policies and plans that are all aimed at dealing with food insecurity. And also some laws, including the proposed bill, the Seed and Plant Varieties Bill. There has been a similar bill that was proposed in 2018, but there have also been other laws and proposed laws that also have an element of addressing food insecurity, particularly those that touch on other farm inputs like fertilizer, so to speak. But when you look at all these policies and laws, you see that, and particularly the policies themselves, you see that there's a common thread there, all talking about seed, that there is lack of access to seed, that the seed that the farmers use is not improved or of good quality, etc., etc. And there is this cry that addressing seed problems is one of the ways through which ultimately food insecurity issues will be sorted. So then we have to see this Seeds and Plant Varieties Bill 2025 against this backdrop of one, a region that is food insecure, two, being promoted by an organization, the EAC, whose primary objective is trade and economics, with hoping that one day in future the EAC will become one political federation. But so far, it remains a regional economic bloc and an internal market. Next slide. So, as I've said, this bill has to be seen as part of this continuous effort to address food security challenges in the EAC. And it seems to follow a similar bill that was published in 2018. That bill was published on account of a program that was being supported by USAID, AGRA, and at least that comes out very well in public information in EAC documents that was trying to harmonize seed legislation in the East African region. And now, the 2025 bill was published in February of this year, and it is proposed by the Council of Ministers. The Council of Ministers is the second highest ranking political organ on the executive side of the EAC, just falling below the summit. And the way the Council of Ministers operates is that for a bill of this nature, it must also have been okayed by the sectoral committees. And here it would be the Sectoral Committee of Agriculture. At the moment, this bill is due for engagement at the various committees of the EALA, the East African Legislative Assembly, which is the legislating arm of the EAC. So this is a bill that is coming from the executive arm of the EAC, and it has now been sent to the parliamentary side of the EAC, so that then it can follow the usual tracks and processes for it to become a law. In the next few slides, I'll spend time just reflecting on some of the observations that I have made on this bill. Now, I think a good starting point in discussing this bill is to ask ourselves, what is the status of seed and PVP laws in the EAC? Because each of the EAC partner states is sovereign and have their own parliament, have their own national programs, national priorities, and procedures, you find that almost all of them have a law on seed. And again, quite a majority of them have a national law on plant breeders' rights. And you can also see that all of them have each at least taken on board some international obligation, you know, through association with other countries in other formations, obligations that touch one way or another on seed or seed trade or rights over seed. Except for two, they have all subscribed to the AFCFTA, which has IP elements that will have considerations or touching over seed. Two of them are parties to UPOV 1991. You can see seven of those countries are part of the COMESA and the COMESA seed law system and regulations. Except for two, the rest are members of the WTO with the TRIPS obligations. All the EAC partner states are part of the plant treaty and therefore have onboarded obligations relating to national implementation of farmers' rights. One of them has ratified the Arusha Protocol on PVP, and two of them are members of SADC and therefore would subject themselves to the SADC Harmonized Seed Regulation System. So this bill is coming to add another layer of obligations on, you know, seeds and PVP to each of these countries, whereas there is this background or backdrop of national laws and international obligations of the matter, on the matter, each of which has different applications and of course, impact. So another observation that is worth to also look at is, and this is from the bill itself, variety release procedures. And as you'll see in the next slide, this bill provides that the only testing procedures that will be recognized, or it does recognize, are those relating to DUS, value for cultivation and use, and national performance trials for the seed prior to release. It does not seem to entertain or give room for countries to also have in mind other procedures. And this is where part of the problems arise, because these procedures then do not accommodate farmer varieties because they are mostly suited or best suited for commercial varieties. They also do not take into account national procedures and realities. Some of the EAC partner states do evaluate farmer varieties or also look into releasing varieties that are not necessarily certified, like in Tanzania, where QDS, the quality declared seeds, are formally recognized. And therefore, when it then goes to say that only seed that is certified by National Seed Authority shall be produced, it fails to then also take into account the fact that some of these countries in the EAC that already have national seed authorities do look at seed that is not necessarily that has not necessarily gone through these testing procedures, and therefore what the status of that seed it will become once this law, if it is passed, will remain in question. Another observation to make relates to strikes themselves as they are provided in this bill. Now, very interestingly, this bill, there are some material elements that one would find in plant breeders' rights law, you know, the PVP law. You know, the primary law is the one that would say what are the conditions for protection of a variety? What are the rights that the breeder would have? What are the exceptions to these rights? What's the duration for protection? But this bill does not say that. Much unlike the 2018 bill, this bill leaves a lot of this material elements of PVP, of a PVP law, to the Council of Ministers. Why it does not address this directly, but leave it to the ministers to make a regulation that is subsidiary to it to do so, is not very clear. But one of the things that then has an effect on is how then that subsidiary legislation would balance with a primary law that exists at the national level that has provided for these rights. And how then such a subsidiary legislation would be able to accommodate some of these obligations that I think countries in the EAC have been very vocal about, particularly farmers' rights. And we see a lot of calls for implementation of farmers' rights at the international level by these very countries when they speak, say, as the African group at the governing body meetings of the Plant Treaty or the CBD and another fora. What then this means, or it brings to question, is how then for those countries that already have PVP law, as you've seen from the table in the preceding slides, what it is that they'll be expected to seed out of those laws so as to accommodate whatever it is that will be provided in the subsidiary legislation. I think my last slide essentially just gives a few observations. One is that this bill looks very one-sided, and it's very suited to serve commercial and much less farmer seed systems. This bill, again, doesn't seem to give a good balance of the different farming realities, national realities, and circumstances that exist in the EAC, particularly in accommodating farmers' rights. These rights are not accommodated at all. Finally, it's only, I believe, last week or maybe not so long ago, I believe it was in July, that EALA adopted a motion that was urging EAC partner states to adopt agroecology so as to strengthen food sovereignty and food security. I think this was a very bold call by EALA. Happily or luckily, this call only came after this bill was published. And to me, this gives the impression that perhaps EALA would be, now that this bill is squarely on their hands, could be willing to listen and see how itself, as an institution that is now modifying or faced in scrutinizing this bill, consider how this law, in it, or this proposed law in itself, could accommodate agroecology so as to keep strengthening food security and food sovereignty in the region.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
You're listening to The Dawn at Witness Radio.
Article 12.4 of the bill does not provide exceptions to plant breeders' rights, especially critical for saving, exchanging, selling, or reusing protected seeds. Countries in the East African Community will need to revise their national laws to comply with this regional seed law. Exclusion of Quality Declared Seed System, QDS, where the bill does not mention them, which is an important intermediate seed quality system used in countries like Tanzania.
Breaking the silence and elevating community voices. Witness Radio, your number one choice.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us as the sun rises. You're listening to The Dawn, right here on Witness Radio.
And that brings us to the end of our program today, The Dawn, only here at Witness Radio, connecting local and indigenous communities across the globe. However, you can listen to us from Monday to Friday online at www.witnessradio.org or by visiting the Google Play Store and downloading the Witness Radio app. For any interactions or comments, please reach out to us on our WhatsApp, which is +256 745 965 765, or by directly calling us on +256 414 697 221. My name is Eunice. Have a blessed day.
Thank you for listening to The Dawn at Witness Radio. Catch us live every Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Don't miss. See you next time.